This is People First Radio On Demand, podcasts, streaming, and MP3 downloads, available when you want to listen at chly.ca, iTunes, and at the People First Radio website.
CHLY 101.7 FM, Vancouver Island. On the web, www.chly.ca.
Urban agriculture is surging in British Columbia and across North America, resulting in a growing network of small-scale farms, rooftop, back, and front yard gardens, and community garden initiatives. The potential benefits to the gardener, farmers, and communities have also become apparent, including the alleviation of poverty and waste, the promotion of sustainable development, reductions in crime, an increased sense of community, improved nutrition, and a host of ecological benefits. Health professionals have also recognized the value of farm and garden-scale urban agriculture, including the engagement of local citizens in work and benefits to food security, exercise, and mental health. We're joined on the phone by Nicole Huska, the owner and operator of Nicole's Farm.
Welcome to People First Radio, Nicole.
Hi there. Thank you.
Nicole, Randy Shore of Post Media News, and I think he works with the Vancouver Sun, described you as less a farmer and more a social enterprise entrepreneur. Tell us about your project. What's the goal?
The goal is to create a... How can I say this? It's to create a mainstream of access of locally grown fresh produce within a short distance of grocery stores and then sold directly from farm to grocery store in order to facilitate mainstream access. The average consumer being able to access locally grown fresh produce. And it's through a viable business partnership between myself as Nicole's Farm and landowners who have an acre or more available to put under cultivation, and then the development of farmers who are familiar with sustainable farming practices, and then bringing the whole project together under the auspices of sustainable agriculture and creating of living wage jobs that are locally based, as well as augmenting local economic stimulation by keeping funds recirculating in the community, all under with an emphasis on business effectiveness and efficiency.
Nicole, you write on your blog, "I'm keenly focused on getting our first seeds in the ground and the fresh, sustainable, locally grown produce into the hands of the welcoming folks on the Sunshine Coast." Is this your first experience in farming?
I have been growing for my family and friends for about 3 years. Before that, I grew up with my mother's backyard garden, and my grandparents had a blueberry farm in Richmond, as well as a very large backyard garden. So I have experience growing for my own personal use. I have never operated a large expanse of land, per se, but I'm familiar with cultivation.
What inspired you to do this work?
Essentially, I am a 30-year-old mother of three girls, all under five. My partner and I have been operating him for longer than me, but I came on board to run the administration, an excavating contracting company. And the economy, when it went so volatile in 2008, we had to start looking for work away from home, and we're based on the Sunshine Coast here. And we just went away and bid a couple public projects, did some work, and we just realized that we wanted to be closer to home for our children, and that there is no easy route. Everything requires such a significant investment of time, and that time that you spend working isn't necessarily time that you can spend with your children, so we wanted to make the choice to transition into something that we were passionate about instead of something that we felt we were just slaving to. And I've been developing the concept of growing food simply on our 4.5 acres for about 4 years. And then the model has basically evolved as I've done more research and realized opportunities that are existing with food supply, got a sense of how to supply a more mainstream base. Like, I personally absolutely adore farmers markets. I find them fascinating. I love the community. I adore the idea and make every chance that I can to frequent our local farmers markets. However, I know that most women with small children or older children are consistently ferrying their kids from one activity to another, are going to work, dropping their kids off at school, coming home from work, picking their kids up from daycare, putting dinner on the table, watching an hour or two of TV, getting everybody ready for bed, and then repeating the cycle. And then weekends are basically used up or are committed to activities. And so I know that there is a significant amount of the population that would like to reduce the chemicals on their food or support local initiatives to provide fresh and healthy, but they're not willing to shift, or they are unable to shift their normal daily cycle. And so from that perspective, I developed my business around the idea of facilitating mainstream access so that my friends would be able to access it. My children's friends would be able to have these kind of things in their lunch boxes because it's there. When they go to the grocery store, they don't have to make a second trip. They don't have to make a third trip. They don't have to go out of their way. It's just there.
People First Radio is a program about people, the society in which we live, and the issues related to health and wellness. Coming to you on CHOY 101.7 FM and streaming at CHOY.ca.
Nicole's Farm is both a model of and developer for year-round sustainable farms on small acreages that help rural communities create local economic stimulation and living wage jobs. The small farm model works by building and managing regionalized food sovereignty networks, which grow fresh, price-competitive, flavorful, and nutritionally superior fruits and vegetables. Nicole Huska launched Nicole's Farm and then a blog and its counterparts on Twitter and Facebook as a social media campaign to demonstrate her determination and promote public interest in the project. Nicole joins us on the phone from her farm on British Columbia's Sunshine Coast, northwest of Vancouver.
Nicole, on your blog and on your website, you reference spin farming frequently. Tell us more about spin farming. How does it work and why does it work?
Spin farming was developed by some people. I believe his name is Wally, and he's in the prairies, I think, either Saskatchewan or Winnipeg. And the method that he developed, he also created a PDF download that you pay about, I think it's $80 for, and they've just recently upgraded their download for new information as the idea of spin or small plot intensive farming has caught on. And so what they've done is presented a business model that advocates the growing of mass appeal vegetables and kind of provides someone who might not necessarily have experience growing vegetables how to create a proper business cycle and how to structure their planting in order to appeal on a retail sale to farmers market or a farm gate sale or a CSA type business model. And the model basically says that if you take a half acre under cultivation, that you can gross about $56,000. There's been cases that are linked to on the spinfarming.com website that show that they have, or that claim or show that they have earned these kind of gross revenues. It's based on a quarter of your land base is under three or four rotations. A quarter of your land base is on double rotations, and then half of your land base is on a single rotation. It's based on kind of main or prime season growing, and it's a really accessible way for folks who have a passion for sustainable agriculture and a little extra, perhaps backyard space even, where they could grow and then sell at a farmer's market or just sell to friends or just create an economic benefit for themselves through food production.
And your website states that spin farming works in either the city, country, or small towns, and it fits into any lifestyle or life cycle. Have you seen examples of spin farming in all of these various situations?
I have read a lot about the urban farming movement in Vancouver. I've spoken to a couple urban farmers who are operating successfully there. I have spoken to and exchanged emails with Bountiful Gardens. Her name is Dawn, and she's been doing spin farming here on the Sunshine Coast for several years. She operates her business through CSA and Farmgate sales, and I believe she goes to farmers market as well. She has multiple smaller square footage plots under cultivation, and she is very well known on the Sunshine Coast and is doing doing a method for retail purposes. So she doesn't necessarily supply to grocery stores.
Nicole, I read about your initiative and learned of it for the first time through the Vancouver Sun article, which was carried by Post Media papers across the country, by the way, under the title Agricultural Entrepreneur Sees Future in Micro Farms. And your website itself makes reference to the strong, I guess you'd say, reaction or the connections that people have made with you have really increased since those articles went out. What's it been like?
Well, for a while, there's emails coming in all the time. I originally had an article launched in the Coast Reporter, which is the local newspaper here on the Sunshine Coast, or the Lower Sunshine Coast. Randy Shore is a resident of Roberts Creek, which is on the Sunshine Coast, and I'd been interacting with him on Twitter for about a year and explained the project. I've had phenomenal feedback locally. I've been getting emails from Australia and the United States and Twitter followers from everywhere. And it's basically, I think the resounding input that I've got is now's the time, this makes sense. I also believe this is true simply because folks like myself, who I have 4.5 acres. I'm going to commit an acre or two to the use for the proof of concept farm for Nicole's farm model. The amount of emails I was getting back from landowners here on the Sunshine Coast, as well as Parkville, and saying, I would like you to view my property and see what the potential is here. A lot of people are, the cost of living are increasing, but their wages or their salaries are not. And so everybody is looking for a way to make their dollar stretch a little more. And so if you are maintaining a mortgage on a place and you see a potential, if you don't mind sharing your space, you see the potential to earn a bit extra income, it's a win-win situation. And then the farm project, as in Nicole's farm, isn't overwhelmed by the maintenance of mortgage payments on acreages. A lot of what the upfront costs, capital costs for engaging in agriculture are impossible for most people to surmount because you're stuck covering the mortgage payments on a $200,000 or $400,000 piece of property. And with the seasonal factors that are for agriculture, obviously, and as well as issues with crop failure and just fluctuation in prices. It's a scary proposition for most people to think about entering into agriculture for the upfront capital costs, and also because it's been a lost art from my perspective. I mean, you can watch Jamie Oliver's Food Revolution, and you see how many children just can't even identify fruits and vegetables anymore. And so my goal through my project is mainstreaming it. I am so 100% on board with the activism behind sustainable agriculture and the principles behind permaculture and all of these factors that I personally believe in. But I understand that preaching to or I'm not saying that that's necessarily what they're doing, but it's not accessible to everybody. Not everybody is willing to invest the time to read all the content to get an idea of what's actually going on in their food system. But they have a general understanding that, okay, maybe there's a lot of pesticides on what I'm eating, but this is the only thing that's available to me in my grocery store. And so my view and the reason that I see great potential for Nicole's farm is that by setting up the infrastructure so that you're creating mainstream access to this through sales to grocery stores, you're essentially bypassing the politics of it. It's just meeting the demand. So it's just a business initiative that has a social benefit. And my personal belief in entrepreneurship and how small business contributes to the BC economy and economies all over the world is that the initiative and the innovation and the passions of individuals can create change that is viable economically and can help society. And so that's what the foundations of the Nicole's Farm Project are.
Thank you very much, Nicole, for taking the time to join us, and good luck in your venture there.
Fantastic. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Nicole Huska is the owner and operator of Nicole's Farm. You can find her online at nicolesfarm.com.
This is a People First Radio podcast. People First Radio is an initiative of Columbian Center Society in partnership with Radio Malaspina Society and produced at CHLY Community Radio in Nanaimo, British Columbia. The opinions expressed in this interview do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the partnering organizations. Visit us online. Just Google People First Radio to find our webpage.